Award-winning author Kermit Roosevelt breaks the silence about the U.S. government civil rights violations against Japanese Americans during World War II in his new novel, Allegiance. It's a time in our nation's history that loudly echoes our post-9/11 world. As the great-great-grandson of President Theodore Roosevelt and the grandson of an esteemed officer of the CIA, and as a constitutional lawyer himself, Kermit Roosevelt exposes the dark side of politics with a true insider's perspective. Again, the name of the novel is Allegiance, and Kermit Roosevelt will be speaking tonight at the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park at 7 o'clock, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Always nice to have you on the program. What led you to this particular story?
Well, what happened was my editor wanted me to write a novel that was set in the Supreme Court, and I thought it would be difficult to write a novel like that about the president. I didn't want people to think that I was revealing secrets I'd learned during my clerkship, and my wife suggested setting it in the past. So I started looking through the past for a time in the country's history and a set of Supreme Court cases that had some relevance to the current situation, and that's when World War II and the detention of Japanese Americans came to mind.
This is a time, 1942, 100,000, over 100,000 American citizens put on trains and forced into internment camps. What did you want to explore about that?
I wanted to explore how we come to make mistakes like that. So what happens to individual people and also the government when the nation feels afraid? Because that feeling of fear and the reaction to that, the decision that people who are different are dangerous, that was something that I saw happening at the time back in 2007 when I started writing this book, and even continuing now.
You are you're a constitutional scholar. So in looking at this debate over the constitutional debate over the Japanese American internment camps, what did you want to explore, and how do you unfold that to give the readers sort of an even-handed view of what was happening, of a situation that's very hard to have an even-handed view of?
Well, it's always easy to look at these things in retrospect and say, that was an overreaction, that was a mistake. But the funny thing about it is we keep doing it. So it seems to be much harder to figure out what's going wrong at the time. So what I wanted to try to do was look at how these decisions come about, and also make the point that, you know, we have the Constitution to try to stop us from making these kinds of mistakes. We have the Constitution. It's supposed to set up rules that protect everyone all the time. And yet frequently these rules bend in times of crisis. And the ultimate lesson to take from that, I think, is that the nation and the Constitution can be no better than the people. And ultimately, the true source of protection for the rights of the minority is popular sentiment.
When it comes to telling this story, why did you want it to be a novel?
Well, national security and the reach of government power and the ability of the government to curtail some people's liberties in the name of protecting other people, it's definitely an academic interest of mine. And I've written law review articles about it, and I've given talks. But that only reaches the set of people who read law review articles or who are interested in academic presentations. And what I was just saying is that I think you need a much broader engagement among American citizens if we're going to avoid these kinds of mistakes again. So I was hoping to reach a broader audience, because the message that I have here, it's about patriotism, it's about America, it's about what our duty is to our country and our ideals. And that's not a message for an academic audience, that's a message for everyone who cares about this country.
When you look at the story, and obviously you have great knowledge of politics and the court and of Washington, but you're also a Roosevelt. So how do you look at that history and say, obviously, because your family is part of that history, of looking at it very clear-eyed and saying, okay, this is what we did right, this is what we did wrong?
I think it helps me in some ways to have a personal connection to FDR, although I am from the Theodore side of the family, in that, you know, I think FDR was a great president. I think FDR was a good man. But part of the story that I'm trying to tell is that in times of crisis, people, even good people, will do bad things. Good people, for good reasons, will do bad things, mainly because they're acting out of fear, because they overestimate the threat that some people pose.
In writing Allegiance, how much of you is in this story? How much of you is in the main character?
There's actually quite a lot of me in the main character, in that the process that he goes through gradually coming to doubt the wisdom and the rightness of what his government is doing in the name of protecting the country, that is a process that I went through in the aftermath of September 11th, where I started out really convinced that the government knew what it was doing, wouldn't do anything wrong, could be trusted always to get the right people. But then evidence started to pile up suggesting that, in fact, we had some of the wrong people, the government was making mistakes and then just not admitting it, and that we needed to think a lot more critically about what was being done in our name.
You talked a moment ago about the parallels to today. Talk a little bit about how the press covered the internment camps and the way we would cover something and the way we cover news today.
Well, I hope that we would do a better job now. So back then, the press was very much on the side of the government. It was reporting the party line. I hope that we have more diversity in our media and a greater willingness to question the government's official story. But we can still see that same kind of dysfunction going on. In the run-up to the Iraq War, for instance, the media tended to be uncritically cheerleading what turned out to be faulty intelligence. And even in the current situation, it's very easy for government officials to cultivate sources and then feed them anonymous leaks that don't actually inform the public. They just advance the interests of those government officials.
We certainly often wrestle with this question when talking about Japanese-American internment camps, where the obvious question is, could it happen again? This is a black mark in our history. Could it happen again? And it seems, just in your answer, and even in reading the book, that the answer is, well, yes, it could.
I think unquestionably the answer is, yes, it could. It probably wouldn't happen in exactly the same way. There were legislative reactions to try to make sure that it would never happen again. Congress passed the Non-Detention Act. But the Bush administration did claim the power to do exactly this. They said, if we think it is necessary to protect the country, we can arrest an American citizen in the United States, hold him as long as we want, do whatever we want to him, and no court can interfere. That was on a smaller scale, but actually just recently, respected centrist Democrat Wesley Clark, former General Wesley Clark, said we should have detention camps for disloyal Americans. After all, we did it in World War II.
And that's disturbing, but again, it's something that is thought of as a solution to a problem, which brings you back to an earlier point of learning from our mistakes. How much have you thought about and explored, because it seems as though you're exploring it in the book, of how much we learn from our mistakes?
Well, I think that we've learned a fair amount. The problem is that there is this, I think it's an innate human tendency, to associate difference with danger. So that when something happens that scares us as a nation, we start trying to identify the dangerous people. And it turns out frequently the government is not very good at sorting the dangerous from the loyal people. And what it does instead very frequently is it sorts the people who are like us from the people who are unlike us. And then we end up visiting grave injustices on people, not because they're dangerous, but just because they're different.
As you mentioned, you're from the Teddy side of the family, the great-great-grandson. At what point does that hit you? Do you start to learn in your life the family history and your place in it?
Well, it was really sort of gradual for me. I mean, I was always surrounded by that history growing up, and what hit me really was not anything about that history, but more the fact that not everyone had a history like that. So it was more a process of realizing that this was something different about my family.
Is there a feeling on your part that you have to know the history, that you really have to learn the history and understand it? But that's almost an obligation.
Well, I feel some obligation to be at least a little bit familiar with the history. certainly not to devote myself to it. I think it's a mistake to devote yourself to studying famous ancestors. I feel much more of an obligation actually to try to live up to the example that they set, to try to do what I can in terms of public service. I know that obviously I can't match what Theodore Roosevelt did, but I try to be inspired by the same principles.
Well, Kermit Roosevelt will be talking about and signing his new novel, Allegiance, at the Henry Wallace Center at Hyde Park at the FDR Presidential Library and Museum. The event takes place tonight at 7 o'clock at the FDR Presidential Library and Home. And you can find out more information by going to their website. Again, the name of the book is Allegiance. It is published by Regan Arts. Kermit Roosevelt, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Again, the name of the novel is Allegiance. It is published by Regan Arts, and Kermit Roosevelt will be giving a talk and a signing tonight at 7 o'clock at the Henry Wallace Center at the FDR Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park. You can find out more information by going to their website, fdrlibrary.marist.edu, fdrlibrary.marist.edu. Again, the title of the book is Allegiance, and Kermit Roosevelt will be at the Henry Wallace Center tonight at 7 o'clock for a book talk and signing. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.